Good morning. Last week we began chapter 40 in Yeshayahu, which is the chapter of Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, which of course is the first of the seven haftarot of Nechama consolation, beginning with the Shabbos after Tisha B'Av and leading up to the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. Before Rosh Hashanah, we already switched to the two haftarot of tshuva, one before Rosh Hashanah, then one between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Shabbos tshuva. But the seven haftarot of Nechama consolation all come from Yeshayahu, from chapter 40 and further. There are seven haftarahs, in addition to the fact that also the haftarah of Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, there are another few haftarot. Most of them are bunched up right here from 40 to the end. Some with all of this urim that we've said in general about Yeshayahu and Nevuah, I think it's about time that we do some text, which we started last week. Nachamu Nachamu Ami Yomar Alokechem Dabru Alev Yerushalayim V'kiru Eleho Ki Molotzvo Oki Nirtzo Avono Ki Lokhomi Ar Hashem Ki Flayim B'chol Chatoseo. We learn it all Kol Korei, there's the voice that calls out Tamid Bor Panu Derech Hashem. In the desert, make clear a way for God. Yashru ba'arava misila la'elokeinu. What he's referring to is the Derech Hashem, the way of God, is the way upon which the exiles are going to return to Eretz Yisrael. This is one of the psukim that speaks of, or a number of psukim that speak of kibbutz galuyot, the ingathering of the exiles, so that even in the desert, make clear a way for God. Yashru ba'arava, straighten out on the plains, misilala elokeinu, a path for God. Kol gei nasei, every valley will be raised, v'chol har v'givar yishbalo, and every mountain and hill will be lowered, so that therefore there's going to be a straight way leading all of the way. Is that Marvin Rosenfield? Marvin, it's kedai for a moment to say hello to you. Just take out a minute, no more than that. Old friend from Toronto. He may even remember one of the first times I said a shir for Bnei Akiva when I came in 59. I was a young man then. I said a shiv. Here, I was, of course, you know, pretty funny. I was of a shiva of a Haredi yeshiva, so to speak, and I was learning with the young people from Bnei Akiva. Well, listen, I'm not going to tell you where my wife grew up. It was just a but I Bnei Akiva. I married her to save her from Bnei Akiva. The Chol Har V'Givor Yishpolu, every mountain and hill will be lowered. V'hayohe Akov, that which is crooked is going to be mishor straight. V'harachosim, and the mountain ranges are going to become a valley. We were up to Pasuk 5. And for Pasuk 5 and many of the psukim that are coming in this chapter, I have Xerox for you, the Malbim. I've Xeroxed the Malbim because if you want a classic example of the brilliance of the Malbim, it's going to be in this next Pasuk 5. V'niglo kvod Hashem, the honor of God will be revealed. V'ro'u kol basar yachtov, and all flesh together will see. Ki pi Hashem diber, that the mouth of God has spoken. What the Malbim is going to do with this pasuk is genius, and it is a classic example of how every word in Tanakh is weighed and measured and calculated to bring the message across. So now you have those sheets in front of you, and you'll see where it's underlined, v'nigla. V'nigla. Sure. Mivar'er. The pasuk is explaining ki ha hofarah elokit tid alela tid b'shishan ma'alot al zman ha'avar. That this pasuk is telling us that the revelation, the phenomenon of God revealing Himself to the world in time to come, is going to be in 6 degrees, in 6 different ways greater than any previous revelation of God in all of history. And it's all going to be in this pasuk. Aleph. Ki ad ata, up until now, ha sagaha elokit, grasping God, haitamu utefet v'kamol ebushim u'maseichim u'mechitzot aman va'arafel. Up until that moment in time, that moment that is to come, any means by which man was able to grasp or see or perceive or comprehend God, it was always cloaked and covered in all sorts of garments, masks, walls, cloud, mist. In other words, throughout history, except of course for the moment of Sinai, throughout history, man, there are moments at which man can perceive God. But it's not a clear, brilliant view, so to speak, of God. There's mist and there's cloud and there's camouflage and it's closed. And it comes with all sorts of masks that cover it. Avola atid, but in the future, v'nigla. V'nigla means God's presence is going to be clearly revealed. Yiyeh ha-kavod megule, God's honor is going to be open and revealed. And it will be seen like a clear view, an absolutely clear view. So that means, word one in the pasuk, the nigla, God's revelation to the world is going to be unmatched and unparalleled, different than anything that happened in all of history. In all of history, there was some kind of it was always camouflaged. It was covered, concealed, but now it's going to be revealed. Yes.
Does that word ever appear in the five from Shay to Lam?
I appreciate that you asked me that kind of question, because you're assuming, therefore, that I know all of Chamisha Chumsha Torah like that on the tip of my tongue. She asked, does the word appear in Torah with regard to Moshe? I know why you're asking it. I mean, I know why you're asking it, because the only one our rabbis tell us at this, the Rambam paskens, the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and all other prophets is the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to perceive God da aspaklaria hami'ira. Aspaklaria means clear. By the way, we don't need a pasuk with the word v'nigla, because it says panim el panim adaber bo, face to face I speak to him, as man speaks to fellow man. That already, that's even more than v'nigla. That tells us even more than the word v'nigla. Because he, over here there is not going to be a direct communication from God to any individual. He is simply going to become revealed to the whole world. But you're right, the term aspaklaria hami'ida is that which differentiates Moshe from all other prophets. Two. Ad atalo hisigu rakvod Elokim. The crucial word over here is Elokim. Up until now, up until that moment in history, if man was able to perceive or grasp something of God, it was the honor of Elokim. Shehu ha'anhoga, shebo manhig, umisader, umashgiach, what people were able to see was, whatever revelation they did see, was a revelation of either God as he appears as Elohim, Shaddai, or Tzvaot. And we'll see in a moment what the difference is. Lo kvod Hashem. But man never saw kvod Hashem, that is Yud Kei Vav Kei, God as he appears with the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, Shehu Shem Ha'etzem. Yud Kei Vav Kei is indeed the name of God. And God has a last name and he has a first name. His last name, in other words, his universal name, is Elohim. Or Shaddai, or Tzvakob. But we, the people of Israel, we know God by his personal name. The personal name is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Now, there are many differences between Elohim and Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Everybody is aware of the fact that the Noel Elohim is Din, justice, harsh, and Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is Rachamim, is mercy. It indeed flows precisely from the fact that Elohim is the general name of God, and Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is the intimate, close name by which we know him. Closeness always means mercy, concern, warmth, being near, imminent. Elohim is the God of creation. In the first chapter of Bereshit that talks about the creation of the world, the name Elohim is used exclusively because there Elohim is the God of all of creation. It is only when he enters into a relationship with Adam HaRishon that he is also referred to as Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. So that means throughout history, man may have encountered Elohim, the way in which God appears through the cover of nature. But you know what's going to happen on that great day? The Niglod, you know what's going to become revealed clearly? Kvod Hashem. Lo Kvod Hashem, Shehu Shem Ha'etzem, the personal name, Hamoda al Kvodo Mitzav Atzmo Umahuto. Very important what he said. Elohim is the name of God that represents that which we perceive of him through his actions. I see nature that was created by Elohim, so I grasp something of God, the God who created also nature, all of these creatures, mountains and valleys and peaks and a great world out there. Elohim, I always see not him, but I see the way in which he acts within nature, and sometimes it can be within history. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei means him. Him. Not how he appears or functions in nature or in history. The Niglo, what will become clearly revealed to man at the time of, and we're talking about the time of Mashiach, is going to be Kvod Hashem. Mitzad Atzmo himself, Umahuto, and his essential nature. Kemosha Kosev, as it's going to say in next week's Sedra, Vo'edo El Havot, Hashem says to Moshe, I appear to the Avos Avram, Yitzhak, V'Yakov, Bekel Shaddai, with my name Shaddai, Ushmi Hashem lo nodatelem, but even they did not see God as Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. They didn't see the awesome revelation of God's essential nature. Number three. Ad ata lo ro'u rak hisigu v'yodu lo ro'u kvod Hashem b'hasogas ha'ayin hachushi arval ata ayin ba'ayin yiru. Next word is the ro'u, they will see. Throughout history, man was able to comprehend, but not see with an eye of flesh and blood. In one of the shurim recently, we were talking about the fact that a person, when it says to see, or the eye, it represents either the physical eye or the mental eye, the eye with which my mind sees. In history, man, there are moments at which man in his mind's eye can see the glory of the coming of the Lord. I take it back. Right? But then what it's going to be is, at that time, the Niglo, Kvod Hashem, the Ro'u, they are going to see not only with their mind's eye, which is an intellectual perception, but there's going to be some kind of a physical seeing of God. Do that again. We'll do that again. Ab ato lo ro. Up until now, they never saw. Rakisigu v'yodu. They grasped and they knew. Lo ro kvod Hashem. They didn't see the armor of God b'hasagat ha'ayin hachushi with the physical eye. Avol ato now ayin ba'ayin yiru. They will see. Number four. Ad ato gam ha'roim v'hatzofim b'machazot elokim. Up until now, even those who see and perceive the visions of God, lo ro be'ein basar, dak be'ein ha'nefesh ke'ein ha'nevui. Even when they saw not with an eye of flesh and blood, an eye of prophecy, an eye of the soul, avol ato yiru kol basar, all flesh, gam ha basar be'eino yir eha mar eha no ra'a mikvod Hashem v'hid galut elokuto. It will be this eye that's going to see. Not only this eye, the eye of the mind. And then further, ad atoho yuharoin v'masigi mikvod Hashem u'atim. Up until that moment in history, those who saw or who perceived or comprehended the nature of God were only a few people, not many. But now, yir'u kol basar, everybody. So, Yechidim, individuals, hasridim, the remnants asher Hashem kareid that God calls ubnei aliyah mu'atim, people who achieve such heights are but few. Aval az then yidu kol basar, all flesh will see ki mala ha'aretz deyot Hashem, because the world will become full of the knowledge of God. And number six, ad ata lo ro kulam b'madrega machas. Up until that moment in history, even those who did perceive or comprehend the knowledge of God, or were able in some way to see Him, everybody saw on a different level. Some more, some less, some more intense, some less intense. But when that great day comes, the ro kol basar yachdav, there will be absolute equality. Everybody is going to see with his physical eye the glory, the honor of Hashem. So he says, number six, ad ata lo ro kulam b'madrega achat. Until now, they didn't all see on one level. K'moshe kosev nigash Moshe levado el Hashem v'hein lo yigashu. When Moshe approaches Sinai, so it says, Moshe is the one who approached the mountain alone. V'hein lo yigashu, but they will not. V'ha'om lo yalu imo, the people will not go up with him. Shemadregat Moshe haita hagasha, the madrega of Moshe was that he can approach. Umadregat hazekenim aliyah, the level of the zekenim, the elders, well, they were able to go up. Umadregat ha'am pechuta gamizeh, and the level of the people was even lower than that. In other words, the people stand at the bottom of the mountain, Sinai. The elders can move up closer. The only one who is able, lageshet. And what does Lageshet mean? As we had Vayigash Elav Yehuda, confront God, man to God. Avalato Yiru Kol Basa Yardav Madrega Achat B'Shaveh. Now all flesh will see together on one level. Ki Pi Hashem Diber. How do I know that this is going to be so? Because God has spoken and He has promised that that's exactly what's going to happen. See what the Malbim has done with this pasuk? Every word in the pasuk is weighed and measured. Every pasuk has meaning. Every pasuk is telling us something that's terribly important. And what the pasuk is giving us is the drama of God's revelation to mankind at the end of the sixth millennium or earlier, if we are worthy. Six millenniums, yesh la'olam, according to Torah. The first 2,000 years are called the 2,000 years of tohu, the 2,000 years of nothingness. The second 2,000 years are called the 2,000 years of Torah, and that begins, as we said, with the with Avram making the gedim in Padam Aram, and the last 2,000 years in which we find ourselves are the 2,000 years of Yemot HaMashiach. Yemot HaMashiach means these are the 2,000 years in which it is possible, it's conceivable, that Mashiach can come at any moment. And that ends in another 240 years. Yes? It didn't say that. You put in the Hashem over there. But the Tzion, by the way, is going to be important. We're going to understand in a few psukim from now, we're going to understand what the meaning of Tzion is. Yes?
So, according to the Malbim, there's not going to be any chazon or anything that's going to be direct. So, here we're asking in the process of Techazena, what is the meaning of the word Techazena
there? Techazena means that we're asking that this period of time should arrive. We are asking that we should be zeichet to see that moment in history when the Nigla quote Hashem, the old called Basar Yachdo. We want to be around to see it.
So it goes together with what the Malbim says in terms of
Einenu.
In other words, we want to see
it. Yeah, Einenu, absolutely. The Techazeno Einenu. You're absolutely right. We're asking, let our eyes see. And what eyes are we talking about according to the Malbim? Not the intellectual eye of the mind, but we want to see it now. The Nigla, Kvod Hashem Vero Kol Basar Yatav. Yes, Riva.
How does all this fit in with the Rambam conception of coming to Mashiach, which is
the one there? Good question. I'm not sure at what particular moment in time this is going to take place, of what moment of Geula. You're right, according to the Rambam, Ein Bein Yemot HaMashiach, there's no difference between the Messianic era and today, except for Shibud Malchus, that we're going to be free from the yoke of nations, which means that the world will continue in some kind of a normal fashion, except that we're going to be free, we're not going to have to satisfy and make any
concessions.
All right, concessions, compromises. We won't have to worry about Clinton, and we won't have to worry about Assad, and we won't have to worry about... All right, that's... So I don't know. You're right, I don't know. According to the other Mepharshim, that may very well usher in the Messianic era. I don't know. I can't pinpoint the moment in time. And here I always fall back upon what the Rambam says himself. The Rambam says all of these things, we don't know how they're going to be and when they're going to be until they will be. What he's telling you is savlanut. I mean, we're going to read, for example, back in chapter 11. Chapter 11 is the great vision that Yeshayahu sees of the lion lying down with the kid, I don't know, and the bear with the baby, and the leopard with the chreis. So according to the Rambam, the Rambam says that all of that vision is not to be understood literally. A lion is going to be a lion. And don't leave any babies laying around with lions. A lion will not change his nature. He's going to be a lion. But what Yeshayahu is saying is that nation will not lift up sword against nation, which means that relationships of nations, the lion and the lamb, are metaphors for nations, the strong or the strong and the weak, even within one nation. All right, let's go. Kol Omer Kedar. I mean, I have to cover a stickle ground. You know, we've done a lot of things, and I'm still a little bit of a coward. So I'll keep till next week that I'm going to be away for a little while. But you're not going to have off. I have a whole special program for a number of weeks worked out, but we're going to keep you waiting until next week. You know, I'm always a coward when it comes to saying that I'm going away, but I have to. All right, we'll talk about it next week. Isn't that Kol Omer Kedar? The Navi hears a voice calling out, and the voice says, "Kedar, call it out, say it." Now, by the way, there was a. We started already with voices who are calling. In Pasuk 2, it said, "Dabru el alev Yerushalayim, speak to the heart of Yerushalayim, call out to Yerushalayim, tell Yerushalayim words of comfort." In Pasuk 3, it says, He hears, the Navi hears a voice calling, saying, make a road leading through the desert. And then now we have a third voice. Kol Omer Kirod, there's a voice that says, call out. V'omar, and the one who hears it, according to the Psalm of Rashi, means the Navi. The Navi says, Mo Ekra. What should I say? You're telling me, announce, call it out, say it, don't be a coward. And I say, Mo Ekra, what should I call? So he says, Kol Avasar Chatzir, V'chol Chazdo Kitzitz Hasadeh. What people have to know is, and here also I'm going to learn the Malbim with you, that, but first we'll learn a few psukim. Kol HaBasar, all flesh, is chatzir. Is chatzir grass? Straw? Hay? Straw? What does it say?
Grass.
So, oh, I was right, the first time. Okay. Kol HaBasar, all flesh, is chatzir. V'chol chazdo. And the kindness of flesh and blood is kitzitz hasadeh, like the flower of the field. What does it mean that man is like grass, and all of his kindness is like the flower in the field? Because what's the end? Yavesh chatzir, the grass dries, navel tzitz, the flower withers, kiruach Hashem nashva bo, because the spirit of God, or even the wind that comes from God, blows at it. Achein, indeed, chatzir ha'am, people, men, are like grass. Yavesh chatzir, navel tzitz, the grass dries up, the flower withers, udvar elokeinu yakum la'olam, but the word of God remains forever into eternity. Now, I want to learn the Malbim with you, because the Malbim is going to explain the extent to which you can't depend on man. You can't depend on man. And that's extremely important. The Malbim we have in front of you, Kol Omer Kira Sier, the Navi is painting a picture, ki hakol koreh hizkir, the Pasuk Gimel, the voice that was calling out in Pasuk 3 and said, make a road through the desert, nishtak, it was silenced, v'yitzik milikrod, and that voice that we had heard before, it stopped calling, v'shoma kol acher, now he hears another voice, omer elav, kro od, call out again. Loma Damanta, why have you remained, why have you fallen silent? Go ahead, keep it up. What's the problem? Why has he fallen silent? And why has the voice fallen silent? And why now is he being encouraged to call out, V'omar Ma'ekron? I said, what should I call? Hakol Korei Rishon Omer Amar Hasheni, the first voice, said to the second voice, Loma Ekra Od Sheinit. Why should I call out again? What's there more for me to say? Hello, call up Asar Chatzir. All flesh is like grass. Kavanat Melitzato. The intention of the Navi in the terminology that he's using here. Ki'ilu kol korei, the voice that cries out, Bamidbar panu derech Hashem, in the midbar, make a way of God. Ki hagula muchenet lavo tekef, the geula is ready to come immediately. Ula mechet hador lo ba. The reason why geula doesn't come is because of the sin of the generation. Oz, lo ba oz, v'hador haru meitu, tamu, v'nichutu, that generation died, ended, cut, v'kol nidmeh v'nishtak. Why did the voice fall silent? Because the geula at point X in time was ready to come. Why didn't it come? Because the people were not worthy. So therefore the voice that spoke of that generation has now simply ceased to call. Ki ikvat ha-Mashiach lo nir'u, because they haven't seen the footsteps of Mashiach. Vo'oz bo'elav kol acheh. Then comes another voice. U'mizarzo, and encourages him. Shi yikra sheinit v'lo yidom. He should call it out a second time and he should not remain silent. And he answers, Madua Ekra, why should I call Halukola Basar Domela Hatzir? All flesh is like grass. Vichol Hador Metu Vidorot Rabo Safu Vahagula Lo Ba. If the Geula is supposed to come because of man, if man is going to be good, so then we have a problem. Because the second voice says, but all basar, all flesh is grass. They end, there's nothing left of them. Yavesh chatzir, the grass becomes dry. Yan sheruach Hashem noshvavo, because the Spirit of God blew at him. Vinit yabesh hechatzir, and the grass has become dry. Vinovel hatzitz, and the flower has with it. Al yedei haruach hanoshev, by the wind that blows, ki kein ha'enosh, because that's man, kechatzir yamav, his days are like grass, ki ruach ovrabo ve'enenu, the spirit goes through him, and he's no longer there, v'loma ekra, if this is what I have to depend on, if I have to depend on man, meishiv lo hakol ha'acher, the other voice answers, ochen, lo kudvarecho, it's not as you say, al tityaej b'chol zot, don't give up hope. Ki rak chatzir ha'am. Rak ha'am domeh kechatzir v'reik. Only the people are like grass. Yovesh chatzir v'tzitzibo avu dvar elukim v'avtachato yakum l'olam. There is something you can depend on, and what you can place your trust in is the word of God and His promise, because that remains forever. Kimo shekosov, another passage that says, enosh kechatzir yamav, Kiruach Obrabo Benenu, Avuk Chesed Hashem Me Olam Vad Olam Al Yireyat. I think it's a pasuk in Eov. We say it usually at a funeral, that man is like grass, the spirit comes, the wind comes and blows him away, but the kindness of God is forever and ever to those who fear Him. Vim Dodos Rabos Yavru, Velo Yiskilu Yeshua. Even if many generations will pass and there will not be salvation, Dvar Hashem takum behechrech ve'eit hakatzur lo ya'acher. This is really the point, according to the Malbim, that they're making from the very beginning of the chapter. Nachamu, nachamu ami, he said, why does it say twice, nachamu, console, console my people? Because there are two possibilities of consolation. One possibility is that if the people are worthy, God will bring the redemption now, immediately. Zochu, if Israel is worthy, it comes quickly. If they are not worthy, then there remains the promise of God that Be'ita, in the time at which God says it will come. You can depend on the word of God, because Dvar Hashem Yakum La'olam. Now, you see a few lines down where I have it underlined over there?
Yeah.
If you just begin in the, should have underlined a few words of the line before. The scholars have already explained, Ki hadobor sheniftach olav. Here's where it becomes exciting. There's something that you're promised, a guarantee that's given. They have to be two conditions. For you to be able to depend on a commitment, you have to have two conditions. Hachozek v'hahatmada. Those are it. Chozek means that one has the power, the strength. It is within his ability to indeed keep the promise. In other words, when you make a promise, you have to. You accept the promise from somebody who's capable of doing it. If somebody who is poverty stricken is going to tell you, I'm going to give you $1 billion, then you're not going to depend on it. I mean, simply they're incapable of doing it. The second thing that's necessary is hatmada. Hatmada is continuity. What happens if the person or the agent that makes the promise can be here today and gone tomorrow? You made the promise today. Tomorrow he's gone. Finished. So how can you depend How can you depend on it? You need two things. You need that the one who promises should have the ability, the strength, to indeed carry out the promise. And the second is, he has to stay around in order to keep his word. Okay? Therefore, the Navi says, Hello, kol habasar chatzir. All flesh, men are like grass, and yavesh chatzir. Grass dries up b'mehiro quickly. V'lo yadich yamav. V'chein enosh kechotzir yamav ma'atim v'lo yimshal. Man does not have continuity. He's here today and gone tomorrow. V'ein bo t'nai, he doesn't fulfill the condition of hatmada. He doesn't fulfill the condition of continuity. Gam ba'odenu chai. And even while he is alive, halo kol chazdo kitzitz hasada, all of the kindness and the goodness and the promise of man is like the flower of the field. And novel tzitz, you know what can happen to the flower? It can wither. Ki ein bo chozek v'kiyum. A flower just doesn't have the strength. It lasts for a brief period of time, in the scheme of time, and then it disappears. You have that burst of color in the spring, and then it just withers away. You know, it means that grass represents the lack of continuity, because ultimately it's going to dry up. It's going to last longer than the flower. The flower simply doesn't have the strength. Means any promise or guarantee. Any promise or guarantee requires two conditions. The ability, the strength to carry it out, and second, the continuity. This grass is gone, and the next grass is going to be new grass. The new grass, wait a minute, the new grass didn't make the promise. The promise was made by this grass. And what this grass promised, the next grass that's going to come is something completely new. Now, I'm not yet ready. I don't think I have to translate it into contemporary terms. I don't have to carry, Okay? I don't have to. Because I think you read my mind already. Your mind's eye is working. Your mind's eye is working. Okay? This is but Dvar Hashem Yakum La'olam. Dvar Hashem Yakum La'olam means God has both the strength, the ability to pay up. He can fulfill the commitment, and also since He is La'olam, He is eternal. He's always around to fulfill the commitment. Let's go a little further. The flower withers. It doesn't have strength. It doesn't last. How can we depend on from his point of view that we will be redeemed? So the other voice answers, Chatzir ha'am. That yavesh chatzir novel tzitz avol dvar elokeinu. In other words, man does not fulfill any of the two conditions that are necessary. But the word of God, has both conditions. Yakum, it is Yakum, and La'olam. Do you see how he's reading two words? Yakum means he can do it. He has the strength to do it. And La'olam, he's always around. And therefore, once you can be certain, you can bet. You can bet on God's promise. You can't place any trust in the promises of man because of the two conditions are not fulfilled. However, let me at least be honest. When you enter into an agreement with a democracy, then you are entering into an agreement with Not an individual, but with a people. Now, a people has a greater degree of continuity than an individual. It doesn't come, of course, to the continuity of the Rabbeinu Shalom, because Dvar Hashem, the word of God, Yokum La'olam. But at least there's the hope that it can last for some limited, albeit limited, period of time, because you are entering in agreement with a democratic society, a Congress, a Senate, a Parliament, that are going to vote on it, and therefore it gets the force of a people about it. But what happens if you enter into an agreement with an individual? With an individual that cannot even guarantee what who will take his place. He cannot guarantee if he'll be alive by tonight. So what's the point? So there's strength, and if his intentions are not honorable, if he indeed is not an honorable man, if he's not an honorable man, so then even if he may have the strength to carry it out, but he does not have the will to carry it out. You need two conditions. That's all. Do I have to say any more? No, I don't have to say. Okay. All right. Let's go. Back into the Navi. Therefore, once the voice has made it clear that you can bet and you can bank on the promise of Hashem, because Dvar Hashem, the word of God, Yakum La'olam, Dvar Elokeinu Yakum La'olam, so therefore, Al Har Gavoa, Alilach Mevaseret Zion, go up on a high mountain, Mevaseret Zion, the one who is going to bring the good news to Zion, Harimi Bakoach Kolech, lift your voice with strength, Mevaseret Yerushalayim, Harimi, lift it, Al Tiroi, don't be afraid. Imri La'ara Yehuda, tell the cities of Yehuda, Hinei Elokeichem, here behold is your God. It's such a beautiful pasuk. Beautiful pasuk. The Malbim says, what's the difference between Tzion and Yerushalayim? Tzion, he says, was that part of the city that included the Bet HaMikdash, the Sanhedrin, and the palace. The holiest of the holies are Tzion. Yerushalayim is the city at large. So therefore, the Har Gavoa is Mevaseret Tzion. Mevaseret Tzion. Harimi Bakoach Kolech, you see, lifting your voice in great strength is to call out to the distance. Yerushalayim is going to call to the masses of Jews to return. And therefore, don't be afraid. Tell the cities of Yehuda, in other words, after you've gone from Tzion you go to Yerushalayim, from Yerushalayim the voice goes out to the cities of Yehuda, tell them, Hinei Elokeichem, behold your God is coming. The Malbim is so beautiful, I'm sorry, I'm going to read Malbim, that's all right. I can't help it. By the way, now you understand why we say, V'techezeno einenu b'shuvicha le'Tzion. Because Zion represents the epicenter, the core of sanctity. Yerushalayim is the city at large. V'techezen aynenu v'shuvicho l'tzion v'rachamim. Baruch atah Hashem ha-machazir shechinato l'tzion. To Zion he brings back his divine presence. Now watch how the Malbim is going to read it into the passage. Now you understand that I'm in love with the Malbim. I can't help it. And I can't help it. What can I do? Mevaseret Tzion mitzayer. The picture that he's painting is ki Tzion atzmo tihye hamavaseret. Tzion itself. Tzion itself is the one who brings the good news. V'chen Yerushalayim. V'ama. In other words, Tzion is calling to its people. Yerushalayim is calling to Klal Yisrael. In other words, Tzion is the Mevaser. Yerushalayim is, since Tzion and Yerushalayim are names of places, cities are feminine. So therefore, Mevaseret Tzion, Mevaseret and Yerushalayim, Mevaseret. Okay, I don't have to tell you that now you know where the names Mevaseret Tzion, Mevaseret. No. Now, should they be part of the municipality of Yerushalayim and pay our nona to Yerushalayim or not. According to Yeshayahu, they are part of the city. Anyway, Mitzayer, he's painting the picture that Zion itself is the one who calls out, and so to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is supposed to say it in a loud voice. Va'altidi, don't be afraid. Pen lo yavo hadavor sha'at nevaseret. You know why he's encouraging the Zion and Yerushalayim to call it out? Because he says, don't be afraid that you're going to make promises and the promises are not going to be kept. Remember, Dvar Elokeinu, the word of God, Yakum La'olam. Don't be afraid, Ki Vivado Yavo, it's certainly going to come. Velozo, not only that, Avgam Imri La'ore Yehuda, even tell the cities of Yehuda, Hine Elokeichem, behold, there is your God. Ki'ilu Tar'em Ekomo Be'ezva. You can be so certain of it as though you can point and say, there he is. There is. Hine Elokeichem, behold, there is your God. Al Dova Shekvar Bovnihi Yata. Remember, the Navi is always describing what is to happen in the future as though it is happening or has happened, because he has already seen it in his prophetic eye, and therefore he says, you know what you can say? There it is, Hine Elokeichem. Yes.
In other words, he's saying this before the rest of the country was captured and it's only Yerushalayim, or is he saying this only as a war? He's the Navi at that time.
From chapter 40 on and further, there's hardly any way of knowing when, at what particular moment in time, he said the prophecies. You'll see in the chapters earlier, there are from time to time indications of a specific event or a specific moment in time that it is related to. From chapter 40 on and further, it's no longer related to any specific time except for the few psukim that deal with Koresh, king of Persia, that is supposed to come much later. So I have absolutely no way of saying when this is said, because this is really above and beyond time. It was not rooted in a moment of time in the life of the Navi or the history of the Jewish people then. Yes? That's what you asked. Oh, that if that's what you asked, you should have told me that that's what you asked. So you should know. All right, so I'll tell you. First pasuk, you see, we've been learning Yeshayahu for a few months and I never learned the first pasuk. Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amos, the visions of Yeshayahu, the son of Amos, Asher Chazar, that he saw, are Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. His prophecies were about Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. Yeshayahu was a prophet to Yehuda and Yerushalayim. Bimei, Achaz, Yotam, Achaz, Yechizkiyahu, Malchei Yehuda. It was in the time of the kings of Yehuda. But he is going to refer to Yisrael from time to time as it relates to Yehuda. For example, in the earlier chapters 7, 8, 9, 10, are talking about the invasion of Yehuda by an unholy alliance. Yisrael and Aram, Yisrael and Syria, you understand, the 10 tribes in Syria enter into an alliance to conquer Yehuda. So the Eibishter Abhiten, Rachman and Islam. And there are going to be all sorts of chapters about Yehuda and Yisrael and Aram. And one of the psukim, we had it already in one place, it will appear in another place, where God tells Yeshayahu to tell Chizkiyahu, don't be afraid of those two smoking torches, the tails of the smoking torches, tails spelled T-A-I-L-S. Whoever they are, those who are coming against you are nothing to worry about. But from chapter 40 on and further, he's still talking to Judah, but there are times at which he's going to open up the prophecy and speak to the masses of Klal Yisrael, because ultimately he as Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel are really going to talk about all of Israel returning. Now, in the parentheses, the Malbim says, Kfar b'yarti b'kamen mekomot, I have already explained in many places, ki tzion shom hayom moshav ha-melech v'ha-sanhedrin u'makom ha-migdash. Tzion was the place of the palace of the king, the Sanhedrin, and the place of the Bet HaMikdash, Yerushalayim, Shom Yoshvu HaAmon. The masses of people lived in Yerushalayim. Tzion Tevaser. What is it that Tzion is going to tell? Tzion is going to tell, Ki Heshiv Shchinato L'Tzion V'HaMalchut V'HaKoruna. Tzion is going to send out the message that God's divine presence has returned. There is a king from the house of David. There is a Kohen Gadol in the Bet HaMikdash. Therefore, since Tzion represents the spiritual heights of the Jewish people, and for that matter the political heights as well, therefore Tzion's message is going to come from a high and a tall mountain. However, Yerushalayim Tvaser Kibbutz Golios. Yerushalayim is going to speak to the masses of Jews throughout the world, and therefore Yerushalayim is going to tell the great news of the ingathering of the exiles, the Lachem Himlitzbo. That's why he uses the metaphor of Harini Bakoach Kolech, lift your voice, Sheyishmu Nidachim, lift your voice so that they should hear you. And they should gather from all four corners of the world. In davening we say it every day. Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem Nidche Yisrael Yechaneh. Yerushalayim represents the masses of people. Yerushalayim's message is Kibbutz Golios, the ingathering of the exiles. Tzion speaks of Shechina, of Malchus, of Sanhedrin, spiritual strength and the strength of leadership. And Tzion speaks to, Yerushalayim speaks to the masses of people, and therefore calls for Kibbutz Golios. Therefore the voice is the one Yerushalayim is told, you have to speak loud enough that they should hear you out there. By the way, sometimes even when you speak loud enough, they still don't hear you. You know? Sometimes I think you have to hit them over the head a little bit, and then they'll certainly hear. But the many psukim are going to be explained, and many parts of davening, by this definition of Tzion and Yerushalayim. So you know, this is one of the things that you have to tuck away, because it's going to come up from time to time. All right, let's go. I said we're going to cover ground, like we've covered a lot of ground. Hinei Hashem Elokim Pasuk Yud, Hinei Hashem Elokim B'Chazak Yavo. God is going to come with great strength. Uzero'o, his arm. Moshlalo, rules for him. He rules with his arm. Hinei schoro ito. You see, don't read anything into what I say. The Navi is saying, you can't buy God off. I didn't make this up. This is Scharoito. There's nothing you can give him because all the reward in the world is with him. You can't buy him off. Ufulato Lifonov. And he's also the one he's the one on the country who can pay out to the ones he can reward those whom he wishes to reward. So therefore, what he's describing is how God is going to affect the ingathering of the exiles and the Geula. Because, remember, we already said you can depend on his promise. Up until now we were talking about the promise. Up until Pasuk 9 we were talking about the promise. You can trust God. Call it out. Because Dvar Elokeinu, the word of God, Yakum La'olam, beginning with Pasuk Tet, you know what we're talking about? It's coming. It's coming. Yerushalayim is calling to its people to return. Tzion is calling out. And they're already beginning to say, Hinei Elokeinu, God is on the way. And he has the strength to come. And it is his might. And then in Pasuk Yud Aleph, one of the beautiful descriptions of the ingathering of the exiles. And I remember that the first sheet that I gave you was all of the Pesukim in Yeshayahu talk about Kibbutz Goliath. Don't ever think that I forget a sheet that I gave out to you. We ultimately come back to it. Look at the way he describes it. Like a shepherd who takes care of his flock. We're not talking, the word edro means his flock. It's not sheep. He's not a hired hand. He's not a cowboy who's taking care of somebody else's sheep. They're his sheep. You know what they are? His shepsalach. That's right. The Sanatoket. By the way, if you keep your wits about you, you're going to find in Yeshayahu many phrases from davening. For that matter, you also have to keep in mind, maybe we'll give this as homework to you one of these days, the names of how many Svarim appear in Yeshayahu. We've already had a few. The one that comes to mind immediately, Kol Korei Bamidbar Panu Derech Hashem. The Moshe Chaim Litzato wrote the Derech Hashem. There will be other psukim. So you're going to have the names of Svarim, and you're going to have phrases from davening. This is in Sana Tokef, yes. Kiroa Edro Yireh Bizero O Yikabeit Tzloim. In his arms, there's a love that he has for his Shepsalach. In his hand, he gathers the sheep. Ubecheiko Yisa carries them on his lap, takes care of the Shepsalach. Olot Yinahel, Olot are the mothers who are nursing. He leads them. He's going to gather them, and if necessary, he's going to sort of wrap them around with all of his love and his care and his concern, and he's going to bring them back. Yes?
Yeah,
that's what you just said. That's
even about the grass,
right, we should have said that. In the same Nesana Tokev, it says that man is... That's right. You're right. Very good. Help me out. Okay. There's going to be a break. And the break now is really going to explain, if we said earlier, that there are two conditions that are necessary for one to trust a promise. The two conditions are, one, the strength and the ability to carry it out. The second is the continuity. Now we're going to describe the strength of God. Beautiful psukim, yes. Mi madad b'sha'alo mayim. Who was the one that measured b'sha'alo? Now the word b'sha'alo has the Mepharshim have a number of meanings. Rashi says, Sha'alo measured he measured the water with his walk, with his steps. From the word Sha'al, up Sha'al, footstep. Most of the other Mepharshim say that the word Sha'al is some kind of a measure. The one who measured out the water for this world. What does the English say? No, wait a minute. Wait a minute, that's the next phrase. B'shamayim baz... No? Yeah, well, let's... What, do you have Art Scroll over there? Let me hear what Art Scroll says.
Who measured the waters in his palm?
Here it says in the hollow of his hand. Who measured the waters?
Is the phrase. That, right. Who measured the waters? The question is Sha'alot. Rashi says Tupshatim. Behalichatal. As he goes, as he walks. A second pshat in Rashi, that it's a shem keli, a sha'al, is some kind of a receptacle that holds a certain amount of water. The Mitzuda, that's right. Okay, the Mitzuda says be'egrofo in his... Yeah, go ahead, what? It's the Mitzuda who says be'egrofo. No, I'll tell you, I was really going according to the majority of Mefarshim.
The
Radak also says fist. Malden says it's some measure. All right. Okay, so then it's not bad if they have the Metzudas and the Radak. Okay. The Evan Ezra, I see, also says it's some kind of a measure. Okay, but fine. We can't lose the flow of the pasuk. Who was the one who measured in his sha'al water? How do you like that for... V'shamayim bazedet tikein. The very heavens, he made the heavens, or he measured them, tikein. Oh, beautiful. Tikein means to measure. Where do we have tikein meaning to measure? Anybody, or something like it. I want two places. No. If I'm asking, and I expect you to answer. No. In Parashat Shmot, Paro says, you're going to have to gather the... Destroy yourself, betochen halavanim, and the measure of the bricks that you made remains the same. Tochen, or tefilas chana. Chana says, lo, before God, nitkinu alilot, all of man's deeds are measured. V'shamayim, the very heavens, bazeret, with his...
A span.
Or the hand. He came. He prepared it and he measured it. The word zedet also, there are those who say that it means some kind of a measure. We're talking about a God who creates, who made the world. If he made the world, he certainly can carry out that which he promises. V'chol bashalish afar haaretz. We've talked now about water. We've talked about the heavens. V'chol bashalish afar haaretz. With the shalish, another form of measure, he has measured the very earth, the dust of the earth. V'shokal bapeles harim u'gva'ot b'ma'oznayim. By the way, another one of the things that I want you... I started as I went through Yeshayahu. I made a list of all the psukim that have harim and gva'ot. Harim and gva'ot. Huh? I think, is this the... in Pasuk 4, kol gei nosei v'chol har v'giv'ar yishpalo. Kol har v'giv'ar. You're going to see har and giv'ar. And he measured a peles...
Level.
No, not here. Except that some of the say it's a measure of weight over here. A peles doesn't measure weight. A peles doesn't weigh. Take a look. The Matsuda says, you know these things on which you hang something and... Not a plumb line. I'm weighing a scale. Now there are two kinds of scale. Who? And that's dying is this kind of a scale. All right. So then the first one say, you know, a thing that you hold and you put something at the end and it shows the weight. So how did...
If you ever see these Arab women selling on the street, that's the kind of scale they use.
That's right.
See how close they are to the Quran.
Okay, now. Now, wait a minute. Harim.
Don't give them a shepherd. That's right.